This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Slave Bride Part 2 by Pink Candy 99. Chapter 08. The ride home was silent. Giselle stared at the floor, unsure if she wanted to see the cityscape even though she knew it could very well be the last time. Tears blurred her vision. Her heart beat quickly, weighed down with guilt she could not name. She felt it pricking against her skin like daggers. Why did Cadence force her to look? The rough tone the Benjamin used was to be expected, but Cadence was not usually so cruel. Giselle shook with anticipation. Would they punish her when they arrived back at the mansion? The question that Cadence asked burned in her memory. He'd asked her where those poor girls had come from, the ones being beaten. Her heart ached for them. Were they girls like her once? Perhaps their masters were punishing them there? Maybe their masters had tired of them and has them sold to be used that way. The thought of being sold frightened Giselle. It was what her father had done to her. He had sold her to the brothers who sat with her now. Yet, even in their anger with her, they had not subjected her to humiliation. Still, the thought lingered. Would there come a time when they would sell her as well? Icy, cold fear struck through her. She buckled under the weight of it, willing herself not to begin sobbing in the car. They had to be close to home. She would take whatever punishment they doled out in return for not being sold again. Benjamin sat in the leather seat. He kept his eye on Giselle. She was looking at the ground and appeared to be deep in concentration. He noted the way that she wrung her hands, fiddling with her nails. She was so still, and yet her body was full of nervous energy, trying to find its way out. He was furious at his brother for intentionally bringing her to where the slaves were hurt. That sort of thing would not be good for Giselle. He knew. On their first night alone, he had hurt her and saw what a toll it took. He promised himself that her punishments were to be different, and although he had not worked out what that meant just yet, he knew that violence would not play a part. Aside from the fact that Cadence's actions caused Giselle distress, Benjamin felt betrayed by his brother. Discipline was his forte, it was his realm. They had discussed that quite clearly. Benjamin was in charge of discipline. He wondered for a moment if he was losing his touch. This slave provided such a challenge by being untrained. But that was not at all her fault, he reminded himself. He would need to speak to Cadence as soon as they were back home. He needed to make sure that Giselle would not overhear. A slave should never see their masters fighting. The gravel crunched under the weight of the car as they slowed to a stop. Cadence was the first to leave the car. He stood as his brother stepped out. "Now, Giselle," he demanded. He felt Benjamin's hand grip his arm. The look his brother shot him was cold. He could have smacked him right there. This was all his fault. If Benjamin had done his job and disciplined Giselle instead of rewarding her all the time, maybe she would know better than to ask to go out. The more she knew, the easier it would be for her to escape. Giselle snapped out of her daze at the sound of her master's voice. She scrambled to get out of the car, not wanting to cause any more trouble. She caught a glance of Cadence's glare before Benjamin placed his arm around her. Together they walked up to the door, and when they were a few steps ahead of Cadence, Benjamin leaned in towards her. He spoke gently. "Giselle, I want you to go to bed immediately. Do not come out of your room until I get you in the morning. You have not done anything wrong," he said, kissing her forehead. "But as your masters and husbands, please trust that we have your best interests in mind." Giselle said nothing. The warmth in his kiss and his gentle voice confused her. Only a few moments ago, the brothers had been angry. This was it. He was going to talk to his brother. They were going to sell her. She entered her room and shut the door, immediately bursting into tears. Cursing herself for not being stronger, she crumpled onto the floor. Soon she would be in the hands of a man like her father again. The front door shut loudly. Benjamin, who had been watching his wife walk to her room, whirled around to face his brother. The anger on his face was evident now. Both their faces burned with fury. "We are going upstairs to talk about this. I don't want her overhearing any of it. She's distressed enough as it is, thanks to you." Benjamin's voice was curt and sharp. Without another glance, Cadence walked upstairs. "There's nothing to talk about," he said as his brother trailed behind the stairs. "Unless you want to talk about how incompetent you are for this." "Incompetent? If you had disciplined her correctly the first time, she would not have even thought to ask to leave," Cadence said, letting the words sting his brother. "She's a slave. She doesn't get to make requests like that. Because of you, she thinks she can do whatever she wants. She asked to see the city." Benjamin spoke, shaking with anger at his brother's ignorance. "She didn't ask to leave you, Cadence. Don't take it personally. She wasn't even trained to be a slave. She's still not being trained," he retorted. "Thank you for that. She is being trained. I have to do it differently. You want me to break her? Turn her into a hopeless, lifeless husk? The silence between them lingered uncomfortably. Of course not. Don't turn my words around on me. Benjamin poured himself a glass of whiskey from the nearby decanter. Taking a seat on the leather armchair, he looked up. His brother was staring off, looking past the bookshelf in front of him. This isn't what either of us wanted, Benjamin admitted. He took a sip as Cadence turned to face him. It isn't fair to us. But try to think about it from her point of view. Cadence, her father asterisk pet her. Then he sold her to strangers and told her it was an arranged marriage. She's not ready to be full slave yet. He sighed and continued. I saw how she looked at the people there today. Didn't you? She wants to serve, to be loyal. She wants to please. Benjamin stood up now. And she wants, he said, looking Cadence fiercely in the eye, to be protected. Cadence's gaze faltered. He knew what his brother was getting at. He had pushed too far. It was not his job to discipline slaves. Benjamin, he said, you're right. I overstepped. Discipline is your domain. His brother didn't reply. Cadence bowed his head. Forgive me, please. Benjamin nodded his approval. I think it's time we begin some training as well. But first, we need to make sure that she feels comfortable and safe. Otherwise, any sort of discipline will just feel like more abuse to her. She has to know that we care for her. First and foremost. Cadence nodded. You're right. Benjamin looked at him sternly. Make it right. There was a knock at the door. Giselle jolted away. Her head was stuffy from crying. Before she could do anything, the door opened and Benjamin was there. Curiously, he walked towards her. Taking a seat on the bed, he drew her face up to his own. There was a gentle concern on his face. Why have you been crying, Giselle? He spoke softly. I told you, you were not in trouble. Without thinking, Giselle threw her arms around the man. To her utter shame, she burst into tears again, pleading with him to not send her away. Benjamin gripped her wrists, prying them off of himself. Send you away? That's what Master meant when he asked if I knew where those girls came from. Right, sir? He means to sell me because I am not what you were expecting? His heart lurched at the sound of her trembling voice. It was strange. Usually, a trembling voice would have made him hard, made his cock throb with anticipation. Now, it made him sick. Benjamin's hand reached out to firmly grab Giselle's chin. No. He spoke sternly, more sternly than he had meant to. You are not being sold, Giselle. I would never allow that. She sniffled and he pulled her close. Eventually, she crawled into his lap. She was surprised at how long he held her, how good it felt to be in his arms. He stroked her hair gently. I'm not going to let anything like that happen to you, princess. Giselle was comforted by the gentle way he stroked her hair. His hands were warm and large. In a flash, her mind wandered. She wanted to feel them on her, to be touched the way the men touched the girls at the club. She blinked at the intrusive thought. It came so suddenly, she wasn't sure how to feel about it. She looked up at Benjamin. Thank you, sir. Come, let's get something to eat. I think we need to all talk together. Benjamin said, standing. You don't need to get dressed, just brush your hair and wear what you have on already. Meet me on the patio. With that, the door closed. Giselle was alone again. What could he possibly have to talk about? What could be this urgent? When she had done as he'd asked, she walked cautiously outside of her room and through the hallways and foyer until she came upon the large glass doors that lead to the patio. Pushing open a door, she stepped slowly out onto the patio. Waiting for her were the two brothers. They were dressed as usual. Button-up shirts and nice pants, no suits or ties. The table at which they sat was decorated with crystal glasses and fine linen. The white tablecloth swayed in the gentle morning breeze. Giselle always enjoyed feeling the warmth of the sun on her skin. Seeing the elaborate arrangement of food on the table, she approached the men slowly. She looked only at Benjamin. He smiled. It was a small but welcoming gesture. For a moment, they were the only two in the room. Cadence's voice broke the illusion. Giselle. Please sit. There's something I need to speak with you about. Benjamin broke in. We want to know more about your past. I think it could help us understand how to treat you better. We've been making assumptions up until now, and that has only led to trouble. Cadence nodded in agreement, passing Giselle a basket of steaming rolls. She acknowledged the gesture he made and took a roll, but her eyes would still not meet his. Giselle, I was wrong to have been harsh with you last night. Cadence said, his voice sounded strange, like he was being strangled. You were only being curious. I took offense and punished you for it. Please forgive me. His slave's eyes darted up at his, confused by the grand gesture and apology. Am I allowed to speak freely? Yes. Benjamin conceded. Why are you doing this? A man owns up to his mistakes, Giselle. Cadence said. There's no sense in an unhappy slave. And it was quite clear that I made you unhappy. I didn't even try to understand why you asked to see the city. I only punished you for it. I should not have done that, especially allowing you to see violence. Giselle fidgeted at the sound. Her eyes flitted down at the ground as thoughts of her father and the women bubbled up into her memory. She felt a hand reach for her own. Please forgive me, dear one. Cadence's voice broke. I've made a terrible mistake doing that to you. Especially after you had already told us about your father. I owe you an apology as well. Benjamin said afterward. I should have spoken up much sooner. I could tell you were distressed, but I could also see that you were curious. Still. That's no excuse. Giselle sat still, looking from brother to brother. It was so strange to be sitting there in a silk nightgown, on a beautiful patio with as much food as she could imagine. But to be apologized to? It was odd, but she couldn't remember ever having someone apologize to her. It made her feel very strange, as if it were some sort of trick. Cautiousness made her stay silent. Why were they apologizing anyway? They had not so much as touched her. There had been no violence on their part. What was there to be sorry for? Besides, wasn't she just an object to Cadence? And what was she to Benjamin anyway? Darling! Cadence spoke as he brushed a piece of her hair away from her face. Darling, please, we know that we have upset you. We did not protect you as we promised, as you deserved. His thumb brushed her cheek softly before he pulled back again. That's why we need to talk today. We need to redefine your role, and ours. Since you have not been trained the way that we thought you would be, we want to make sure that you are still able to serve and be happy here. And we need to make sure that you understand our side as well. What you can expect from us. Benjamin clarified. First and foremost is our protection. We will always keep you safe from the men outside, as well as making sure to care for you in the ways that you need.
There was a silence in the room that lasted a moment too long. Giselle noticed how the men looked at each other. She began to feel her own heart race.
Cadence nodded. Giselle. Benjamin spoke forcefully. Because you were taken here under false pretenses, we want to ensure that you are happy. We want to give you a period of time to decide what you want. And we will do our best to make you happy. But if you still want to leave after that.
Benjamin paused now. Giselle was surprised to hear such sadness in his voice.
We will make sure to help you find the safest way to do it.
Chapter 09
Giselle's head was spinning. She had never been able to make such a large decision on her own before. The world outside seemed so big that it overwhelmed her. She couldn't imagine what it would be like to try to make her way outside of the mansion. She had no skills, no formal education. Even if she did have these things, she had never been in the real world. How would she be able to survive when she knew little to nothing about what the outside world was like? The thoughts buzzed in her head, one overlapping with the next until they formed a jumble of anxious energy inside of her. She could feel her hands beginning to shake, despite the nice temperature outside. The men sat quietly in front of her, as if they were waiting for a response. But what could she say? Certainly, she wanted to leave, but how could she be sure that they were telling the truth? She trusted Benjamin. But Cadence was harder to read. He seemed to be telling the truth, but perhaps he would change his mind once he heard that she wanted to leave. It was this thought that made it hard for Giselle to speak.
Just think about it, Benjamin said finally. I realize it is a lot to ask. But we will see what you think in 2 months. That should give me enough time to find a safe place for you to stay if you no longer want to stay here.
She could still hear a twinge of sadness in his voice. Giselle was surprised to find that the thought of never seeing him again made her feel sad as well. Still, she wasn't convinced that the feeling was enough to make her stay. When they had finished eating, Giselle stayed at the table. Benjamin noticed the way that she kept looking towards the garden. He felt great pity for her, and anger at the way she had been mistreated. But he felt something else as well. Her slender frame, her distinct features, the way her hair fell over her exposed shoulders, Benjamin felt himself lusting for her. He craved the feeling of her flesh. He needed to bury himself deep inside of her body and feel her writhe beneath him.
Why don't you go for a walk in the garden? He said sweetly. It might help to ease your mind.
Alone? For now, Benjamin answered.
I will join you after a while.
Giselle nodded and stood up from the table. She had been staring at a patch of particularly beautiful purple flowers. When she walked towards them, she saw that the path was also lined with tiny white flowers. The smell was relaxing. She wondered what the scent was. She had never seen so many types of flowers and wondered if she might find a book about them in the library. She found herself sitting down in a patch of grass beside a large tree. Giselle felt strangely calm there underneath the shade of the branches, smelling the strange flowers. Yet, there was something more to what she was feeling. Perhaps it was more numbness than true calm, she thought. She thought back to the conversation, still in shock. She had the power to choose. But how could she be sure what the right choice was? The outside world was brimming with possibility, but it was so dangerous as well. Was it wiser to stay? Behind her, she could hear the soft sound of gravel crunching beneath leather shoes. Benjamin had followed her, no doubt. She turned towards the sound in time to catch him sitting next to her. She looked at him for a moment, but he said nothing. It wasn't until after she had turned her face away from Benjamin that she heard him sigh.
You could make it out there just fine.
His voice had a strange quality to it. It was something she couldn't recognize.
I would make sure that you are safe. Should you choose to go, I will see to it that you have what you need.
There was a pause.
But Giselle, believe me when I say that I do not want you to leave. I want you to stay here with us. I want you to like it here. It would mean a great deal to me if you would tell me how I could make you more comfortable here.
At this, he paused again. For a moment, he gazed down at the young woman in the grass. She could tell he was debating whether or not to say more. After a moment, he bent down on one knee and leaned in towards Giselle, kissing her gently on the forehead. He cupped her face and kissed her nose. His hand lingered for just another moment before he stood tall again. In another second, he was off, walking towards the house without looking back. Giselle pulled her knees to her chest. She had felt her heart flutter as soon as Benjamin leaned in towards her. His scent was intoxicating. The way his hands felt as they rubbed her cheek made her feel strange.
It was comforting and yet sad at the same time. She wished that he had not walked away so quickly. Still, the question rang in her ears. What would make you feel more comfortable? What could he do? He had already given her a room of her own. She had never been asked to advocate for herself in this way. Even so, she wanted to so badly know how to do it. Giselle stood, leaving the garden and following the path that Benjamin took into the house. Before she could stop herself, or even think of what she was about to do, she flew up the stairs and into Benjamin's room. I know, she said, coming in boldly, forgetting to knock. Her husband raised an eyebrow. That didn't take very long. What? Unsure of how to ask for a favor, Giselle paused. Suddenly, her fire and gumption seemed to dissipate. Her eyes darted towards the ground. She bit her lip before slowly getting onto her knees. I don't know how to ask for what I need, sir. He stepped closer. Intrigued by her sudden change in demeanor, he folded his arms and looked at her curiously. She did not return his gaze, but instead kept her eyes glued to the floor. Please, sir, you have told me to let you know what I need and I don't know how. Please, can you help me? Very well, he said. And you picked a good time to ask for help, seeing that tonight you are staying with me. Would you like that? Yes, sir. Good. To start, I'll just ask you some simple questions. You don't have to tell me anything other than yes or no. It will be up to you if you want to elaborate, he clarified. Sitting down on the floor, Benjamin pulled his wife into his arms. He stroked her hair gently. Is it overwhelming to ask for things from me or my brother? Yes, sir. Does it help when I ask questions this way? Yes, very much. Giselle relaxed a little. Benjamin's chest was strong and she felt small in his arms. That's good. I think once you are more comfortable, it will be easier to ask. I am sorry if what happened the other day made you afraid to ask. Is that still on your mind? It's in the past. That isn't what I asked. Is it still on your mind? She hesitated. Yes, sir. I thought as much. Benjamin said as he continued to stroke her hair. It was wrong to have punished you for asking when you didn't know any better. From now on, you will not be in trouble for asking questions like that. Okay? Giselle nodded. There was a moment of silence between the two. After a little while, Benjamin spoke up. Do you like it when I stroke your hair this way? Yes, sir. Would it be all right if I made you feel good, Giselle? He asked, moving her chin to look at him. Slowly she nodded. She could feel the excitement bubbling up at the thought of Benjamin touching her. He bent to kiss her lips softly. Just then, his hand was on her leg, inching its way up her thigh. She was so soft. Her skin felt so delicate against his fingertips. He felt a surge of lust and leaned in to kiss her neck, allowing his tongue to slip out and taste her. His wife let out a surprised moan, and his hand slipped further up. He was teasing her now. He listened as her jagged breaths made him hard. She thought of the women in that room. The look of pleasure on their faces turning to ecstasy as she realized what would soon happen to her. The thought of it thrilled Giselle. She could feel her body come alive with electric anticipation. Benjamin's strong hand found its way up her thigh and began to gently tease her. He drew his fingers along her lips, below her belly button, just outside her entrance. He seemed to be touching her everywhere except where she desired most. She leaned her head back, looking at him with pleading eyes. His hand pulled back. Should I stop? She shook her head. Tell me, what would you like me to do? He enjoyed watching her squirm at his question. She had asked for his help in becoming more vocal about her needs. He watched as the realization came over her face, changing her expression. She regretted asking for help now, but there was a part of her that liked it as well. Please, sir. She started timidly. I would like for you to touch me. He kissed her cheek, drawing her closer to his chest. Spread your legs for me. She did as she was asked. He could feel how wet she was. Her pussy was slick, making it easy for his fingers to find her clit. Giselle jolted at being touched, but Benjamin tightened his grip around her. One arm holding her firmly in place, the other teasing and playing with her body. Suddenly she melted into him. Giselle let out a sigh of relief, a breath she had not realized she'd been holding. She jolted again, embarrassed by the sound of her own pleasure. But Benjamin leaned towards her, tightening his grip and making it even harder for Giselle to move. Somehow, the way he was holding her, restricting her movements, only seemed to make her more aroused. Her eyes darted up to his, pleading. Benjamin let out a laugh and kissed her again. You're going to have to try much harder than that. What do you want, Giselle? But she was unsure of what to say next. She knew the feeling was like nothing she had ever experienced, yet it was not the same feeling she had at the other night when she saw the other slaves. When she saw those women, she was curious, envious, and perhaps something else. This was something completely different, and altogether stronger. It created something deep inside of her. A longing of sorts, but she wasn't sure what the longing was for. Please! It was all she could manage to get out. She was still squirming underneath his expert hand. His fingers glided into her soft, wet pussy and she moaned. Her back arched a little as if she were trying to move away, as if the pleasure was too much for her. She heard Benjamin's gravely voice in her ear. Beg. His voice was firm and commanding. Beg me to let you come. Giselle panted, pleading with him as he continued to move his fingers inside of her. He inched slowly inside, never taking his thumb off of her swollen clit. It was too much. Giselle felt like she might burst. Suddenly, the feeling inside exploded. Every inch of her body was suddenly filled with electricity. Her legs trembled as she let out another moan. her hands clenched tightly to her husband's pants as she pushed herself up, shaking as she pulled away. Benjamin removed his hand and guided Giselle back into his arms. Lifting her trembling body, he carried her to the bed. Pulling the covers up around her, he kissed her gently on the mouth. Then he moved to kiss her nose. "Stay there, sweet girl," he spoke softly. "I'm going to get you something to drink. Then you can go to sleep."
Chapter 10.
Giselle woke slowly. It took time for her to retrace her steps. Memories came flitting back as she blinked in the morning sun. The comforter beneath her was soft and warm. She moved slightly. There was a twinge of soreness between her legs. She smiled at the memory, as embarrassing as it seemed now. Just then, she felt a warm hand reach over to stroke her hair. Benjamin. She smiled again, comforted somewhat by his gentle touch. Still, she didn't turn to face him. She was still an object to him, she reminded herself. Despite the way he made her feel last night, she was still, at the end of the day, his slave. "Giselle." His voice was soft, and somehow just as gentle as his hand. Instinctively, she turned towards him. He was laying there, his bare chest and muscular arms exposed. He patted the bed beside him, beckoning her to move closer. She looked at him, unsure of what he wanted. Eventually, she decided to move closer. As soon as she did, she felt his warm arms wrap around her. He pulled her head in close to his chest. Giselle listened to his heartbeat. "I hate to surprise you like this," Benjamin said genuinely. "There's going to be an event here in a few days. Lots of other masters and slaves will be here. It's pretty typical, but I know that it may seem like a lot for you." Benjamin could see the anxiety crossing her face. Even so, she nodded slowly. There was something so pleasing about how she agreed despite how uncomfortable she looked. He kissed her forehead, promising that he would explain how it all would work over breakfast. The table was set with various plates of fresh fruit and pastries, their sweet scent wafting gently towards Giselle. She was filled with nervous energy and trying desperately to hide it. The smell made her sick. Her stomach, despite being empty, felt nauseous. She forced herself to reach across the table and spoon a few sliced strawberries onto her plate. She hesitated, pushing them back and forth until one of her owners spoke.
"We are going to have company," Cadence said acutely. "In a few days, the house will be filled with different slaves and their masters. They will all be staying for a total of 2 days, as is customary. They have traveled a long way to come here, and it will be very important for you to show them respect. It would be a good time for you to understand more about life as a slave. There will be plenty of time for you to talk and ask questions when you are alone with the other slaves," Benjamin added. "You, however, are not allowed to speak to any of the owners. Unless, that is, they were to ask you something directly. If that is the case, I hope that you would show your utmost respect," Cadence said. "Your actions and words do reflect onto us, as we are not only the hosts but your owners as well. We will start prepping you today," Benjamin stated. "We want you to feel prepared and maybe excited about meeting some new people. Despite how nervous you are right now."
He squeezed her hand gently and brushed a strand of hair behind her ear. His eyes were very insistent, waiting for her to look back at him before he moved away.
"Cadence is going to show you how to dress and act," Benjamin said, starting to get up from the table. "Meanwhile, I have some business to attend to. I know this must seem overwhelming, but there is no better way for you to truly understand what your life can be if you stay here unless you see others who have made similar choices."
His eyes were penetrating as he spoke. It was now just the two of them in the dining room. Giselle felt strange without Benjamin present, and wondered what it was that he was doing. He had left very abruptly. Cadence's voice drew her back to the present.
"You do not have to be friends with the people who stay. We simply thought that you were lonely and would like some new company. How much better for everyone if that company could also help you to understand what life as a slave is meant to be.
Now, stop pushing that around your plate. Finish your meal and meet me upstairs. I'll help you get dressed and let you know what the expectations are for the next few days." He left the table to head upstairs. Giselle, left all alone, sat at the table. She was still pushing around her fruit, unable to even take a small bite. Questions popped into her head, one after another. How many people would be there? Where would they be staying? Where would she sleep? Would it be like the place they had visited? Would the men be mean? She could hear the ticking from the grandfather clock behind her. When she turned to look at it, she was surprised to see how long she had been sitting there alone, pondering what would happen in the next few days. With a deep breath, she forced herself to eat the food on the plate, and then went upstairs. It was such a strange feeling to walk up that large and extravagant set of stairs and not feel her feet. She felt herself being pushed forward, against her will, as if someone else entirely was making her move. Before she realized it, she had made it across the hallway and into Cadence's room. "What's the matter?" She felt his hand brushing her cheek. His touch made her blink. She looked up at him, unable to speak. His eyes were full of concern. The look on his slave's face was troubling. There was nothing behind her eyes. She stared vacantly at him.
"I apologize." Her voice sounded distant and cold.
"Nothing is the matter." Her attempted smile was not believable in the least. Cadence smoothed her hair back.
"Look at me."
She did. But her face was blank.
"Giselle, I'm sorry, sir. I don't feel well."
"I see. Did you finish eating?"
"Yes, sir."
"Very good. Come with me. I'll get you cleaned up." With that, he took her by the hand and led her into the bathroom. "I'm going to undress you and you will get in the tub. She shook her head. Cadence lifted an eyebrow. Excuse me? At this, Giselle burst into tears. A bit taken aback, Cadence spoke more softly. I promise not to hurt you, precious one. Let me take care of you. Still, she shook her head, taking a step back. Please. He said, feeling overwhelmed at her response. He moved her hands away from her face and looked at her as he spoke slowly. You're all right, my love. Tell me. What is it? In between her staggered breaths. Benjamin. I asked for him to dash. She cut herself off. To what? Cadence's concern was growing now. I asked him to touch me. She said through tears. Please don't be mad. I had to tell you because you said when I first got here that you were supposed to be the first to touch me there, and now you are going to punish me somehow when all these people come. Just like the girls that we saw before. I just know that dash, Giselle. Cadence spoke sternly, taking her chin in his hand. They are not coming to punish you. I explained what they are here for already. But as for what you did with my brother, please, Sir Dash, do not interrupt me. Cadence said harshly. When we spoke with you the other day, we told you that you could choose. We said that you were not going to have to live by the same rules you did when you first came here. It isn't fair to set that standard for someone who has never been trained. There is nothing to apologize for. You made a choice last night. And you have every right to make your own choices about that sort of thing. Consider that an old rule. You have no need to follow it now. So you dash, get in the tub. He spoke gently again, filling the tub with water as she stepped in. You have broken no rule, Giselle. Tenderly, Cadence washed his slave's face and dried her tears. He watched in silence as she slowly started to come down. She made eye contact with him for the first time that day of her own accord. When he saw her expression, he was filled with warm, protective emotion. How do you feel now? He asked. Better. Her voice was quiet and raw. When he had helped her out and dried her off, he wrapped her up in a towel and sat her on his lap. He let her hair get his shirt wet as he held her rocking back and forth. Giselle's eyes were puffy and red from crying, but the gentle rocking motion made her feel at ease. She closed her eyes. There is nothing for you to be afraid of, he said kindly. When the day finally arrived, Giselle did exactly as she was asked. She wore nothing except a metal chastity belt with a leather harness. Her hair was pulled back into a sleek, high ponytail. She had very little makeup on, but what she was wearing accentuated her features. People started coming in through the front door. She waited beside her two masters. It was her responsibility to take care of the gentlemen's coats and their keys. There were five other masters there. Most of them were in their mid-30s or 40s, some looked a bit older. The slaves, however, were all young. The youngest appeared to be no more than 20. She had gorgeous red hair that sprouted out in thick ringlets all around her face and over her shoulders. Beside her were two blonde women, thin and elegant. They sat perched on either side of their owner on one of the luxurious leather couches in the large sitting room. The room, which Giselle had never seen before, was hidden behind two sliding black doors. The doors were very tall, were usually locked. The inside of the room was painted a dark shade of green. Leather couches and velvet seats made a U-shape in front of the large white fireplace. Long velvet curtains hung over the windows, blocking out all of the light from outside. The massive logs burned bright enough to bathe the room in a romantic glow. Giselle noticed that there were a slave and master sitting in one of the darker corners of the room. She was kneeling in front of him as he sat on the bench in front of an antique grand piano. She walked slowly up to the man, one hand behind her back, the other holding a silver tray. Giselle walked slowly and approached the man without speaking, just as Cadence had told her to do with all of the male guests. The man took one of the drinks from the tray. Giselle felt strange that he did not recognize her presence. He didn't even look at her. He merely continued speaking to his slave as if the tray had floated to him all on its own. Giselle made her rounds, ensuring that all the guests had been served. Once Benjamin noticed that she had finished, he signaled for her to come closer. Take the other slaves into the parlor, he said. Make sure they get something to eat. Giselle bowed her head just slightly. Of course, sir. As she walked away, she could hear the man that Benjamin was talking to. He seemed to be commenting on her appearance. She wished that she could stay just a moment longer and listen. Was that something Benjamin would encourage? Did other masters ignore other people's slaves? Or did they envy them? What did it matter anyway? She was only pretending to be a slave now. To her dismay, she did not dislike it quite as much as she had thought. As she collected the other women and led them into the adjoining room, she thought of Benjamin. There was a different tone in his voice altogether. Something confident and controlled. There was not so much as a hint of affection. She couldn't quite decide what she thought of that. The women sat in a circle around the table. Each woman had a spot with their name, or their master's name in some cases. Giselle had not known that getting to keep a name was a privilege among slaves. The women sat, sipping their tea. Giselle closed the door behind them as she was told. There were no other doors or windows in the large room. It was an ornate room. Large, old paintings hung on the walls. There was a bookshelf built into the wall, filled with very precious old books. There were many places to sit and lots of flowers that Giselle had arranged by picking them from the gardens. How long have they owned you? Said a younger Asian woman with long hair. She was wearing a revealing floor-length dress and gold chains around her wrists. 1 year next month, Giselle was supposed to say, though it wasn't true. The women paused and nodded slowly. It's just as well, said one of the nameless blondes. You'll be used to it soon, though, her doppelganger replied. If you get to stay here, it wouldn't be bad for you. It was mostly quiet after that. Giselle pondered the woman's words. She tried to remember their master's face, but couldn't recall. Whoever he was, he had not even allowed them to keep their names. She felt her stomach drop at the thought. A girl with green eyes spoke up just then. She had been silently sipping her tea until now. Setting down her cup, she looked at the women around the table. "We should all count ourselves lucky." This statement caught the other women's attention as they turned towards the green-eyed girl to hear more. "Without our masters," she began, her mouth suddenly curling into a smile only to fade away just as quickly. "We would still be slaves." A few of the girls looked away, embarrassed. Confused by the girl's statement, Giselle asked quietly, "How can that be?" The girl gave her a harsh look, then softened her gaze. "Without a master, you would be unowned. But that term is misleading. Being unowned and being free are not the same thing. A woman who has no master is the property of the state. As such, they can use you to settle debts, work for little to no pay, or train you for public service. The only difference is that with a master, there is at least a chance that you will be taken care of, possibly spoiled." The woman paused to look around. "And by the looks of it, you have landed in a very lucky place indeed." Even as she began to clear the table, Giselle could not stop thinking about what the woman had said. She did not feel lucky. She felt trapped. But Giselle supposed that the woman was right in saying that a woman would be trapped either way. The doors opened again, and the women were led by their owners into the first room. They passed through grand halls until they arrived at the chamber entrance. Giselle had never seen the interior of the chamber. She only knew that it was used for slave training and for large gatherings, like the one they hosted now. The doors creaked as they revealed the large room before her. Candlelight bathed the room in a warm glow, but still, the room felt cold. The floor was made of dark wood, while the walls were made of rough stone. There were dark wooden beams that hung, exposed over their heads. Iron and leather tools lined one of the walls. There were a few couches decorated in a deep wine-colored crushed velvet. There were no windows or curtains, but there were ropes that hung from the walls. A few hours were spent talking and testing out different tools. The guests surveyed the room and the furniture. Benjamin gazed at his wife from across the room. He could tell that she felt unsure of her new surroundings. He waited for her to notice his gaze and beckoned to her. Without hesitation, Giselle started towards him. "I can see that something is the matter," Benjamin said. "Let me put you at ease." His hand found the small of her back as he guided her towards a large wooden X. "You must remember this," he smiled, referring to their night out. Giselle did recall the strange object. It made her feel excited and nervous to know that she was standing so close to it. She recalled the pleasure that she saw on the woman's face, and something inside of her shifted. She wanted desperately to feel the way that woman had. Despite her desire, Benjamin moved her along to the next thing in the room. An expansive display wall with many different metal chains and leather objects hung before her now. Giselle recognized some of them: handcuffs, whips, and riding crops. But there were some that she did not recognize. "As it stands, nothing on this wall is for you," Benjamin stated firmly. He continued to escort her about the room. He explained the various types of furniture and their uses as well as the toys that were on display. When he had finished the tour, he told Giselle to go get drinks for their guests. She obeyed, leaving the large playroom and walking down the corridors. When she arrived at the cellar, she opened the large, heavy wooden door. Inside the room was quiet and dark. Dust particles scattered about in the air illuminated by the light from the hallway. Propping open the door and turning on a light, Giselle wandered the large room looking for the correct bottles. Benjamin had mentioned a serving tray as well. In the quiet room, Giselle could hear her own footsteps clicking against the floors. There were other footsteps as well. She turned quickly, thinking that she must have been imagining things. Or perhaps Benjamin had followed after her. When she turned, she saw a figure standing in the doorway. His frame was large but not as large as Benjamin's. The lights were quickly turned out. Giselle's heart pounded in her chest. There was another door out of the room. If she could make it there, she would be safe. The footsteps were getting closer. Giselle picked up a bottle and hurled it towards where she thought the figure might be. There was a loud shattering sound and she began to move quickly in the other direction. "Get back here, you little bitch!" Her hands were in front of her as she tried to maneuver through the room. Her eyes were adjusting slowly to the dark. She turned a corner, slamming against the corner of the bar. Unable to stifle her yelp, she covered her mouth. "There you are." The voice was much closer now. She ducked down, hiding beneath the ledge of the bar, sandwiched between two bar stools. There was a click. Suddenly a beam of light tore through the darkness. It lit up in her direction. She held her breath, willing herself to be invisible. The man with the flashlight was walking closer now, scanning the room carefully. The beam found its way across bottles and shelves, finally resting on her shining high heels. Before Giselle had the chance to move, the man was grabbing her roughly. He hoisted her from the floor, turned her around, and pushed her over the bar. There was a sound like fabric as she struggled underneath his grasp. The man said nothing as he placed a cloth sack over her head and lifted her off the ground with ease. Underneath the hood, she could not see any light. Assuming that they were still in the cellar, she guessed that he must be heading to the door that leads directly to the kitchen. The idiot. Benjamin or Cadence would find him there as soon as he stepped a foot outside the cellar. Surprisingly, the man did not start walking. Instead, he seemed to be calling someone. Giselle could hear the ringing, but the voice on the other end was too quiet for her to understand. "You just let me know," the man said. Giselle knew the mansion was too large to be heard screaming from inside the closed cellar. She didn't want to upset the man further. She hadn't known about the flashlight, so it was possible he might have a weapon as well. He said nothing to her for another few minutes. Suddenly his phone rang and he started walking. As he stepped loudly, Giselle could hear shouting getting closer. There was a smell of smoke. The sound of many footsteps racing across marble floors. When the sound had quieted, she heard the door open.
Chapter 11.
Giselle blinked. Her legs and arms were cold. Instinctively, she reached to cover her shivering body. When she moved, she felt her wrists tethered in front of her. Her heartbeat was fast and hard in her chest. Giselle tried to move so that she was sitting up. The floor beneath her was a cold metallic material. The large cage that she found herself in was the only thing in the room. The room was bright with white painted cinder blocks. There were two small windows that sat about 6 feet from the floor. Even if she had been able to stand, she would not have been able to look out of them. She could feel her breathing getting faster. Just a moment ago, she had been with Benjamin. She had gone to the cellar, and a man had taken her there, thrown her over his shoulder, and created a diversion loud enough to steal her away. How had he done it? Had the fire burnt the entire mansion? She forced her thoughts away from her home, and her owners. She did not want to think of them now. She did not want to think of Cadence's soft voice and his gentle touch holding her and rocking her back and forth. She did not want to think about Benjamin's strong hands or the way he spoke to her when they were alone. Tears formed in the corners of her eyes. She wanted so badly to be back with them both. It was cold and damp in the room. Giselle shivered on the bare floor of the cage. There was a lock on the outside that prevented her from being able to open it herself. She drew her knees to her chest. Her chastity belt was still on. When she noticed this, she felt deep and intense gratitude towards her owners for making her wear it. It too could only be opened with a key, proof that even in their absence, her owners had striven to protect her. She leaned against the walls of her cage, contemplating the best course of action. It was hard to tell what that might be, given that she had not heard or seen anything for as long as she had been awake. It was clear that it was daytime. She knew that much. It had been around 11 p.m. when her assailant had taken her. Her skin was not bruised badly, and her belt showed no sign of someone trying to tamper with it. The facts ran through her mind as she tried to think of what might be happening to her. Benjamin had given her information on the outside world. He told her about the process of ownership. If another man were to take advantage of her, she would belong to him. Neither Benjamin nor Cadence could change that. The sun began to set outside. Red and pink lights splashed through the window and onto the colorless wall behind her. When the sun had set, she felt her stomach growling. It had been at least a day since she had eaten, and she needed to use the restroom badly. Instead of focusing on her growling stomach, she contemplated how to make her escape. She would need more facts. It would be one thing to break out of her cage somehow. Even if she were able to, she had no way to know that she could open the window, let alone what waited outside. Giselle decided that she would bide her time. She would take in as much information, and then she would escape when it was safe. Besides, she told herself, she didn't even know who had taken her yet, or what they intended to do. Hours passed, and the next morning she found herself drifting in and out of sleep. She was huddled in the corner of the cage, looking at the door all night. She had expected someone to come in during the night, but perhaps they wanted to starve her out so that she would grow weak. Her head was feeling fuzzy with dehydration and lack of food. By the third day, Giselle was sure that whoever had taken her had left her here to die. Although she had heard occasional footsteps, no one had opened the door. Her vision was obscured by tiny black and yellow dots when she heard the footsteps again. She closed her eyes in order to save her energy. She needed to focus. How many people were there? It sounded like more than one. Suddenly, she could hear men's voices. They were muffled, but their low registers indicated to Giselle that they were most likely male voices. The floor creaked again and the voices spoke louder, more aggressively this time. It sounded as if one were giving orders to the others. After a moment of silence, the heavy door was thrown open. Giselle's startled eyes met the man's. He walked towards her after setting down a bottle of water and a plate of food. He placed them gently on the ground and looked at her intently. The look made her uneasy. He ignored it, taking the key from around his neck as he unlocked the cage door. The way he looked at Giselle without breaking eye contact made her move back farther. He cocked his head to the side as he watched her inch away. "Not hungry?" he asked in a tone she could only describe as taunting. He clicked his tongue, shaking his head. Now. You don't want to be rude. Come on out then. The man extended a hand into the cage, beckoning her towards him. Giselle froze with fear, unsure of whether or not to obey. He let out a sigh. Giselle. Do not make me reach in there and drag you out. At the sound of her name, she blinked and decided to obey. She moved towards him slowly. The man squatted in front of the cage door. He had a large muscular frame and square jaw. His hair was long and well-kempt. His blue eyes were piercing under his furrowed brow. Giselle moved on her hands and knees until she reached the cage's door. He held a hand up to her. You must be pretty hungry. Hesitantly, she nodded. Good, he said, trailing a thumb over Giselle's lower lip. Then show me just how hungry you are. With that, he stood, and as he did so, he grabbed Giselle's hair, pulling her out of the cage. He undid his pants and took out his cock. Open that pretty mouth. Giselle tried to turn away. She moved her hands up to cover her face. With his free hand, the man took her bound wrists, pulled them over her head, and held them there so she could not move. I'm not going to ask again. Giselle turned her head again, keeping her mouth shut tightly. Before she knew it, she felt a sharp sting across her face. Her mouth opened to let out a cry, and when it did, he shoved himself roughly inside of her.
You said you were hungry.
So convince me. She gagged, unable to move. Without thinking, she bit down. The man yelped, throwing her backward. As he bent over in pain, Giselle made a dash for the door. There was a set of stairs in front of her, and she flew up the steps as fast as her legs would carry her. Her bound hands made it difficult to open the doorknob.
Get back here, you little bitch. You just made this so much worse for yourself.
When he began to ascend the stairs, she shoved the door open. When Giselle looked around, she saw another door in front of her. Quickly she ran to it and pushed it open. Adrenaline was pumping through her veins. Her heart was beating nervously as she ran across the lawn. Rain pelted her skin, but she ignored it. If this was anything like her first attempted escape, she would come to the end of the lawn only to be shocked by a fence. The ground was soggy and grass stuck to her legs as she ran through the weeds. She turned her head to look back. The man was barreling after her now. She kept running. Her lungs were stinging with exhaustion. Every breath hurt as she pushed forward. He wanted to hurt her. He wanted to cause her pain. If there was an electric fence, he would have stopped and let it do the job. Instead, he ran after her at full speed. There was no fence here. Small bits of gravel and rock cut her feet as she ran, but she would not stop. In front of her was nothing but tall grass. A forested area was not too far. If she could just get there, she could hide. Suddenly, the man's arms were around her, and the two of them toppled to the ground. Giselle let out a scream, her legs violently kicking the man behind her.
It didn't have to be this way,
the man said out of breath.
You should have just listened.
He pinned her naked body down in the mud as she wriggled beneath him.
Let me go!
He slapped her again, taking off his belt with one hand as he grabbed a fistful of her hair.
Your last owners put up with this shit, Giselle, but let me be perfectly clear.
I will not.
When you disobey me, you will be punished.
With that, he flipped her over. Face to the ground, she felt the sting of his belt and the hard cold rain. She screamed again. Her back, her legs, her cheeks, everything burned from the leather strap he used. When he was finished, he dragged her by her wrists through the field. Silently, he took her down the stairs and into the room where she had been when she first arrived. He took the plate of food with him, leaving only the water as he shut the door. He did not bother locking her inside of her cage. Giselle curled into a ball on the floor. She began to sob. She woke the next morning covered in dirt and grass and blood. She took the water and sipped it. Giselle moved as far away from the door as she could, huddling in the corner of the room. She was freezing now. When the door opened, she refused to look up.
Get up.
It was the voice that forced her to look up at the door. There in the doorway were two men. Her heart stopped. It was her father and the man from the night before.
Chapter 12.
A chill ran down Giselle's spine as she covered herself as best she could. Her hair had been caked with mud. Rainwater and sweat covered her entire body. The room was cold, but it seemed even colder now. She felt her body tremble. Her father was there. He was stepping closer towards her.
Look at what a bad girl you've been, Giselle,
he said, looking down at her. She did not have to look back up at him to know that he was scowling. His tone of voice, the way his footsteps sounded as he walked across the room, Giselle was able to read every one of her father's emotions without even looking at him. He paused before he continued. This time, he spoke to his associate.
You would think that for as rich as they are, they would have trained her better by now.
Thoughts whirled around in Giselle's head, confusing her even more. Her father had known how the world worked. He had known the whole time about how women were trained and sold. She felt a pit in her stomach when she thought of her own mother. She had died when Giselle was very young. That was what her father had told her. But if this man was willing to sell his own daughter, would he have sold his wife as well? She willed herself not to show emotion. Tears fought hard as she thought of the two men who owned her. She wished desperately to be back in their care, instead of here, in the rotting basement covered in mud and sweat and bruises. She would never see them again. Her father had her now, and she had been reckless in her attempt to leave. That was something she knew he could not forgive. Once when she was 11, her father had caught her trying to sneak out of the kitchen window in the middle of the night. He had snuck up on her, grabbed her by the hair and beat her on the kitchen floor. He had tried to impress on her the importance of listening and staying inside at all times, and he had done so in a way that ensured she would never forget that lesson. Just then she heard the sound of metal and snapping sounds. She looked up. Her father's assistant was setting up a camera.
Get up,
her father said without even a glance in her direction. Giselle, dazed and afraid of what was going to happen next, did as she was told. Her father spoke quietly with the man for a while she stood, naked and shivering in front of the camera. She still had her arms across her chest, and her hair was covering much of her face.
Go ahead and start. I'll be back in a while. Make sure they can see her face.
With that, he was gone, leaving his daughter alone with the man who had attacked her the night before. She heard the click of the lock and the small beep of the camera. The man began to take off his belt. A feeling of panic ran through Giselle. Her skin was still raw from the night before. In fact, when she looked down, she saw that her entire waist was bruised as were her legs.
Get on your knees,
the man said, holding the belt firmly in his hand.
Don't make me ask twice this time.
When Giselle got to her knees, she looked up at the man. When this was all over, she would find a way to get rid of him. By the end, Giselle was sobbing, covered in saliva and even more bruises from his belt.
"Next time, your belt will be the one that comes off,"
the man said in a low voice as he wrapped his hand around the chastity belt and jerked it roughly, causing her to cry out. He kissed her in order to muffle her cry of pain and gave her a little slap on the cheek before dressing himself and turning off the camera.
"I think your husbands are really going to like this one."
With that, he was gone. The door locked behind him. Giselle stared in horror as the door closed. If she had known where the video was going, she would have tried to give them some information. She would have at least mentioned that it was her father.
"No one is leaving until we figure out who did this,"
Cadence told the crowd. The guests were standing around in the garden a good distance away from the mansion. Luckily, the fire department had been able to come quickly. Only the west hall and dungeon had been burned severely. The rest of their abode was in rather a good shape for the circumstances. Benjamin and Cadence went through the guest list. Only two men and one woman were not accounted for.
"How could this have happened?"
Benjamin stated, staring across the yard at his guests. His stomach churned at the thought of now knowing where his wife was or if she was safe.
"The police will be here soon," Cadence said. "I just got off the phone with them. It's my fault,"
Benjamin said in a monotone voice. His brother had rarely seen that look of despair that washed across Benjamin's face. Putting aside his anger for a moment, he drew his brother in and embraced him.
"We are going to get her back."
When the police arrived, the men filled out a missing slave report.
"These names don't seem to fit anyone in our master database. Are you sure they were masters?"
the policeman asked.
"We have an extensive vetting process,"
Cadence replied as calmly as he could. The police were not always careful with missing slaves' cases. Many people saw them as easily replaced, and they were not treated with priority unless they were convinced to do so.
"Finding Giselle is of the utmost importance. We both would be happy to compensate you for your work,"
Cadence said as calmly as he could.
"Of course,"
the man said, packing up his things.
"Where was the last place you saw her?"
When Cadence and Benjamin had finished telling the man everything they knew, he went to the cellar. The man looked around for an hour, but after finding nothing suspicious about the room, he gave them his personal phone number and left. The two men sat in the empty mansion that night. Both of them were silent. Cadence was focusing on nothing but how to get her back. Benjamin sat mulling over just how to punish the men who did this. Suddenly, Benjamin sat up.
"Her father. That piece of shit? He probably overdosed a week after we paid him. You're probably right, but still, I have a strange feeling that it could be him. She seemed so afraid of him when she got here. If he were sober, he might be able to pull something like that off. You're giving him too much credit."
It was only a few days later when the brothers received an unmarked package in the mail. When Benjamin opened it, he found that it was a videotape. He scoffed at the old thing. Why would anyone use such a crude piece of technology? It took the brothers a while to find the correct player for the video. When they eventually sat down and turned it on, Candace and Benjamin both felt their stomachs drop at the sight of her. It had ended with an abrupt cut, and the TV turned to static. There were no clues about where she might be, and the man with her was certainly not her father. Without saying anything, Benjamin got up and walked to the bathroom. He immediately locked the door and ran to the toilet. Vomiting and crying, he thought about Giselle, alone and scared. He thought about the first time he had hurt her and what it did to her psychologically. Benjamin's stomach hurt even more thinking about his wife being left alone after all that. That man who touched her, hit her, hurt her. He would pay. Cadence was in shock. It took a second for the sobs to come, but they racked his body. She was his to protect, and he had failed miserably. He wanted nothing more than to scoop her up into his arms and take her back home. He desperately wanted to bathe her and brush her hair and tuck her into his bed. He wanted to bring an end to all of the pain that she was in, and he couldn't do it. When Benjamin came out of the bathroom, Cadence was still on the couch staring at the screen.
"Get up. We're taking that straight to the police, and we are getting her back,"
Benjamin said. The anger in his voice was palpable. Giselle was alone now. Neither her father nor the other man had come to see her since she had been recorded. She stared out of the small window. It was too tall for her to reach and much too small for her to climb through. Still, she wished that she could climb out. She wanted nothing more than to get away from this place and her father. There was no food or water in the room, and Giselle was still cold. She had not had the chance to get cleaned off after she had tried to escape. Now her skin was caked in dried mud and dead grass. She started crying as she thought about how impossible it all seemed. Her stomach was sick with nerves.
Chapter 13.
The second videotape arrived. When Benjamin collected it from the delivery man, he immediately took it to his brother. The box was small, with no address markings or other hints as to where it had come from. Benjamin felt his stomach twist at the thought of what he would see. The look on Cadence's face mirrored exactly what Benjamin was struggling to suppress. There was a deep sense of helplessness, masked only by a thin veil of anger. Cadence inserted the tape into the television, holding his breath. The screen went static for a moment before turning black. There were two men speaking. Their voices were muffled. The two brothers looked at each other. The muffled voices became clearer as a camera seemed to be moving along the hallways of an old house. From the angle, the men could tell that someone was holding the camera at their side. The house in which they were filming was filthy. Floorboards were stained with water damage. The paint on the walls was chipping off in large sections. The place seemed to have been abandoned, or at the very least it should have been. Neither brother recognized the place. It was not Giselle's old home. It was much too big. The camera came upon a set of stairs. Once they appeared to be in the basement, Cadence noticed how the doors and walls seemed much sturdier. The walls, made of white cinder blocks, looked as if they had been recently painted. The door that the camera was approaching was a heavy metal door with a small door on the bottom. There was a heavy lock in front of it. The camera did not show the cameraman's face or the person he was talking to. But as they spoke, it was much easier to hear than before. "Do it exactly as I told you." The door opened with a loud squeak. Cadence winced when he saw her. Benjamin's eyes darted away from the screen, already feeling the tears stinging his eyes. Cadence raked his hands through his hair and let out a breath. The video went much like the previous one, except this time it continued for an even longer time. "I can't keep watching this," Cadence said, digging his palms into his eyes. The veins in his arms and hands were prominent against the blotchy red pigment of his skin. "We have to find some way to use this in order to find her. They didn't have enough last time to find any evidence. Now we have their voices, maybe there will be more evidence. If we don't get her back soon," Cadence said in a voice so low that his brother could hardly hear. "They're going to kill her. Look at what they're doing. You think I don't know that? I don't enjoy watching this any more than you, Cadence. But we are running out of time. So, look at the fucking screen and help me." Without a word, Cadence did exactly that. When the two men were finished with Giselle, they pushed her against the wall. One of the men got the camera and brought it close to her face. Then the camera moved to allow the brothers to observe all of Giselle's body. "Fuck, I missed that, Giselle. Those husbands of yours are two lucky bastards." It was unmistakable now, the voice did belong to her father. He was talking to Candace and Benjamin directly now. "I'm sure you've been missing this one a lot. She really is a good fuck and I just can't bring myself to part with her again. I would be willing to make a compromise though if the price is right. If not, I'll just hang on to her for a little while longer." "How can he talk about his own daughter? How can he do that?" Benjamin yelled. "That piece of shit. I swear when we find him, I will personally make his last minutes as painful as possible. How are we going to find her? We know it's her dad now. That's a lead." Together, the brothers took all of their evidence to the police station. Luckily, they had kept all the documents they had on Giselle's father from when they purchased her. It was a substantial amount of information, but severely outdated. Her father had been evicted from several residences after selling Giselle. He appeared to have spent the majority of the money quickly and was therefore indebted to a few different people and corporations. After being able to determine a motive for stealing his daughter, Giselle's father was considered a prime suspect. It took longer for them to trace down his whereabouts. The man traveled often and frequently used an alias to avoid trouble. By the time they had narrowed down their search to a specific place, the brothers had received a third tape. Her father warned that this would be the last tape they would receive. To Cadence and Benjamin's horror, it was even worse than the last. Despite the sickening sounds and nightmarish things that appeared on screen, this only strengthened the brothers' resolve to get to Giselle quickly. In her father's basement, Giselle closed her eyes. She blocked out the memories, feelings, sounds. She desperately tried to retreat into herself. If only she could block on the banging on the floorboards. The violent sounds of glass shattering followed by yelling made her empty stomach twist nervously. She desperately tried to ignore the heavy footsteps coming down the stairs. She knew what would happen next and begged the universe to not let the door open. She could not take it. When the door opened, her father and his accomplice would be standing there, ready to make another film. "Giselle!" Cadence let out a sigh of relief and flew to Giselle's side. She hardly had time to process what was happening. How had he found her? Cadence immediately took off his shirt and wrapped his wife up. Her hair was caked with dirt and sweat. Her arms were scratched and bruised. There was hardly a patch of skin that was left unharmed. "Close your eyes. I don't want you looking at anything upstairs." Cadence lifted Giselle off the ground and she winced. "We will fix this, Giselle. Everything is okay now. You're safe. Just close your eyes." Giselle did exactly that. Thankful to be taken back home, she buried her head in Candace's warm chest as he climbed the stairs. "Giselle, no matter what you hear, do not open your eyes." With that, he opened the door to the main floor. Benjamin was in the room adjacent to the staircase. Both Giselle's father and her other assailant had been gagged and tied to the chairs that Benjamin had found in one of the other rooms. Blood dripped in a pool at their feet. Cadence could tell by the look in his brother's eyes that he was enjoying himself. Cadence was more than happy to help his brother attack and bind the men who hurt his wife, but he did not share the same glee when it came to inflicting pain. The smell of stale blood was beginning to feel overpowering. He took Giselle to the car, just as they had planned, leaving Benjamin to enact whatever violence he pleased. "You think you can hurt my wife and get away with it?" Benjamin teased. He massaged one of his hands as he leaned against the wall. Pulling a knife from his pocket, he played with it while he spoke. "You enjoyed causing pain? Well, that's something we have in common. But I'm afraid I won't stop until the job is done." Giselle's father looked helplessly at Benjamin. He jerked away in fear as Benjamin delicately moved the blade across his knuckles before driving it deep into the flesh. He severed one finger, then the next, enjoying each cry of pain that her father let out. When he had finished, he cleaned up the mess and set the trash bags on the curb. He cleaned his weapons and his hands and climbed into the car. He looked into the back seat to see his wife and his brother. Giselle was sleeping, her head resting on Cadence's lap. Benjamin felt his heart breaking. Without a word, he turned around and drove home. No one spoke for the entirety of the long ride home. The gravel crunched underneath the wheels of Benjamin's car. He pulled it to a gentle stop, hesitating to look in the back seat. His heart lurched in his chest. He knew he could not comfort Giselle as well as his brother could. He was not tender or soft. Still, he owed it to her to try his best. He glanced over his shoulder. She had fallen asleep on his brother's lap. She looked peaceful. He hated to pull her out of her peaceful sleep. Cadence agreed to carry her inside and take her to the bathroom so that she could get cleaned up and go back to sleep again. While Cadence brought her inside, Benjamin went to get her something to eat and drink. Cadence woke his slave as gently as he could. She blinked and jolted away from him, almost knocking him off balance as he tried to set her down on the toilet.
"Let's get you cleaned up, okay? Then you can eat and go right back to sleep,"
Cadence said as calmly and reassuringly as he could. Giselle said nothing. Instead, she stood as Cadence released her chastity belt. She couldn't stop tears from trickling down her cheeks as she heard the metal hit the floor. It had been the only thing to protect her. Memories were flooding her mind. With the sound, she was thrust back into the cold room. The panic clawed at her throat and chest, making it hard for her to breathe. Her mind played the events on a loop. She could still feel every sensation as if it were happening again. Cadence caught the look in her eyes just as Benjamin walked up to the bathroom door. He set the snacks and water on a table outside and turned to face the bathroom. He froze at the sight of his wife. Giselle's breaths were harsh and shallow. Benjamin looked at his brother nervously. Her legs and arms were covered in deep purple and blue bruises. Her legs were covered in welts that were clearly given with a belt. Cadence walked towards her slowly. He didn't break eye contact with her, but he could tell that although she was looking at him, she was not able to see him. She was completely frozen with fear. Giselle's heart was beating quickly as her husband drew near to her. Cadence embraced his wife. He held her close to him, cradling her head with one hand while he wrapped his other arm around her waist. He pulled back to look at her again. Cupping her face with his strong hands, he said her name. He said it until she blinked, and he could tell it was her looking back at him.
"You're safe now. Take a deep breath. Come on now. Take a deep breath with me."
When Giselle was finally able to catch her breath, she noticed that she was back in her home. Benjamin was drawing the bath and tested the water with his hand before telling Giselle to step in. She obeyed slowly. When she turned, the men saw the gashes on her lower back. There was a place above her right hip that appeared to have been burned. Benjamin caught her arm before she was able to sit down in the tub.
"Wait," he said. "Let me take care of that."
Giselle sat, balancing on the edge of the tub. She waited for Benjamin to finish rummaging through one of the large medicine cabinets. While she waited, Cadence took her hand. His hand was warm and soft. Gently squeezing her hand, he gave her a reassuring kiss on the nose.
"Everything is going to be all right now,"
he whispered softly as he stroked her cheek. Soon Benjamin was back. He treated her small burn as best he could with the supplies they had.
"In the morning we will make sure to get a doctor here to take a look at you,"
Benjamin said matter-of-factly.
"Go ahead and get in the tub, Giselle. You need to get cleaned up so you can rest. Cadence is going to take care of you while I set something straight."
With that, he turned and left. Giselle's heart shattered. She thought of what he had told her in the garden. If another man were to take her, there would be nothing he could do. Was she even allowed to stay there? Were they cleaning her up just to sell her? She felt a painful stabbing feeling in her stomach at the thought. Her hands were clenched into little fists. Cadence looked down and saw how badly she was shaking.
"Giselle, hey," he said softly. "I'm here. I'm here,"
he repeated softly as he took a soft washcloth and wiped away the tears and dirt that covered her face.
"Hold my hand. You're okay."
Benjamin could hear Giselle begin to sob from inside the bedroom. His heart twisted painfully in his chest. He sat slumped in her chair, head in hands. Seeing her body bruised and cut made him feel sick. He had held it together for her sake, but he could not bear to look at her for another moment and be reminded of how he had failed to protect her. After a moment of wallowing in pity, Benjamin inhaled deeply, wiped his face, and walked out of the room.
"You have to get rid of me now. Isn't that right?"
Giselle said through choked sobs. Cadence, who was gently washing his wife's arms, turned quickly to look at her.
"What? That's what Benjamin is doing. He's planning to have someone else take me."
Giselle's face was blotchy. Her eyes were swollen and her mouth was sore from crying.
"Giselle."
Cadence was hurt by what she said, but he knew that she was speaking from a place of fear.
"You are not leaving. We have no intention of letting you go."
There was a pause as Giselle wiped her tears away. Just then, Cadence leaned over the edge of the tub and gave Giselle a soft kiss on the cheek. He looked at her for a moment. His brows furrowed, making him appear pensive.
"Let's get you to bed."
Giselle bit her lip nervously. She looked up at Cadence. When he had dried her off and wrapped her in a soft robe, he paused. Giselle watched in confusion as Cadence kneeled on the bathroom floor. Without speaking, he bowed his head. Giselle stood in her soft, warm robe, unsure of what was happening.
"Please forgive me, Giselle. I did not keep my promise. You were under my care and I was careless. None of this is your fault. It's mine."
Cadence tried to keep his composure, but his voice cracked.
"As my slave, you are my full responsibility and I have failed you. I will do whatever you need me to do so that you can heal. I will not command anything from you until I have earned your trust. Are you saying I am not your slave anymore?"
Giselle asked, sitting down in shock. Cadence looked up at her this time. His eyes were dark and heavy with guilt.
"I cannot speak for my brother. But as for me, no slave could be expected to serve someone who allowed this."
As he stood, he spoke again.
"You are released from your contract. However, you will stay here for as long as you wish and I will strive to protect you.
I hope that in time, I will earn your trust or at the very least your respect. But you do not have to follow any commands or sleep in my bed anymore.
Giselle was in shock. Whatever she had imagined her owner to say, it was not this. The thought was overwhelming. She felt her heart beating softly in her chest at the thought of freedom. It was followed by a pain in her stomach at the thought of what could happen if she were free without being protected. She had the choice to either stay or go. At least, according to Cadence, she did. She was curious what Benjamin would have to say about all of this. Had Cadence even talked to him about the decision? Before she could finish her thought, Cadence stood up again. He looked down at her for a moment. She could not read his expression as he stared at her.
You should probably sleep. If you need me, you can find me in the library.
Then he was gone. Giselle sat, cold and confused on the edge of the tub. Her mind was still processing all of the changes. She had been taken by her father. Then brought back by Benjamin and Cadence. Now Cadence had freed her. Benjamin had left without saying anything about freedom. She tapped her nails against the white tub, unsure of what to do next. She could try to do what Cadence asked and sleep. But she doubted she would get much rest after everything that happened. Suddenly reminded of everything that happened in the basement, she stood and ignoring her image in the mirror, she walked into her old bedroom. On the table beside her bed was a copper tray filled with food. There was a plate of fresh fruit and two muffins, a hard-boiled egg, and a cup of orange juice. She flew to the food and began eating. She had forgotten how hungry she was. Giselle took another bite of one of the juicy strawberries. She noticed a note underneath the tray.
Giselle, please eat and get some rest. I will be in shortly to discuss some matters with you. Benjamin.
When Giselle had finished the food, she snuggled up underneath the covers and looked at the door. She had expected him to come quickly. After a while of silence, she read the note again. Then turning on her side, she faced the window. She watched as the sun poured its light over the fresh grass and flowers. The sky slowly changing from blue to pink then orange. Finally, the light had disappeared over the horizon. Giselle could feel her stomach beginning to churn. What matters had he wanted to discuss with her? Why was he not here? Eventually, she grew too curious and stood up out of bed. When she opened the door, Benjamin was there. He was looking out the window. The expression on his face was hidden behind his arm, which was pressed against the glass so that his forehead could rest against his closed fist. If his fist was any indicator, he was extremely frustrated. She could tell by the veins that protruded from underneath his skin. When he heard the door open, he shifted away from the window and straightened his shirt. I thought I told you to get to bed. So, he didn't plan on releasing her. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.